Greetings. Welcome to Grace Bible Church. This is a fun evening for us, kind of a family evening. This is a really great time where we get to reflect on the gospel in a number of ways. And some of the finest preaching you'll hear around will come from the lips of five who are about to be baptized. And these are five who are just excited about what Jesus has done for them, for God's glory and for their good. And I'm going to stop talking as soon as I can, so that you can hear from them. What I want to do for just a moment is talk a little bit about baptism. What baptism is, what it does and does not do, and what its basis is. Baptism is a symbol of something that has already taken place. These people who are coming today to be dunked into the water and brought back out of the water are not accomplishing anything for themselves before God. You need to understand that. Baptism does not save you. Baptism is not some sort of a magical ceremony that accomplishes God's grace for you. Baptism is a declaration by these five that God has already done something, that God has done something monumental, that God has done something life-changing, in fact, eternity-changing for these five. Baptism is a symbol of what God has done for these five through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to remind us what Jesus has done for us from God's word in the book of Romans, chapter 3, starting in verse 20. God says through the Apostle Paul this: "By the works of the law, no flesh will be declared righteous, because through the law comes knowledge of sin." In short, Paul simply says this. God says this: you can't get to heaven by being good. You can't get to heaven by keeping rules. You can't get to heaven by going to church. You can't get to heaven by pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and trying real hard and making God happy, because you won't. You can't. The very next verse says this. Something else, something radical must take place if sinners like you and me, or like these five, are going to be in God's presence. Here's what God says: "Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, being witnessed by the law and by the prophets. The righteousness of God," listen to this, "through faith in Jesus Christ." There's no other way God's grace and God's righteousness and God's salvation of a sinner can come except through Jesus Christ. And the reason he gives is in the next verse, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Listen, everyone who believes understands that they could never earn God's favor. You could never do enough, be good enough, keep enough rules, go to church enough, do anything enough to make God happy. Something else is required. And God says those who believe, verse 24, are justified, that is, declared to be perfectly righteous as a gift by His grace through the redemption which comes in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of great words there. Gift, grace, redemption, and Jesus. For these five here, these words mean everything. While they couldn't earn their salvation, God desires to give it as a free gift. He desires to declare these unrighteous five to be perfectly, absolutely righteous by a redemption that comes through Christ Jesus. And then he tells us how God could do such an impossible thing. Verse 25, "God displayed Jesus publicly as a propitiation through faith in His blood." Propitiation is kind of a strange word. It simply means this: the satisfaction of divine anger by a substitute. That means God was angry at sin, and God was willing to send a substitute to absorb that anger so that those who rightfully deserve it, like you and like me and like these five, don't have to take it. But God transfers His infinite wrath, His infinite anger, which would send any of us to hell forever, and He takes all of that anger and He pours it out on someone else. That someone else, His only Son, who never sinned, who never knew what it was like to disobey his father, who only ever pleased his father. And the Bible says that God made him, that perfect one who knew no sin, to become sin for us. That little word for, it means he was a substitute in our place. He was a propitiation. He propitiated or satisfied or took away or absorbed all of God's anger directed at sinners who will only believe, who will only cling to the truth of that substitute dying on a cross for me. Listen, these five who are coming before us tonight to tell us what Jesus has done, they bring nothing to God except what God himself provides. And they simply say, I believe that Jesus died for me. Listen, do you believe that tonight? That Jesus died for you? That's what these five want you to know. They want you to know that God has provided a substitute who can take away all the consequences of all of your sin, make you a new creature, give you a new life, and give you best and most a relationship with God himself. God said, I'm preparing a people for my own possession, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the cross of Jesus Christ is how he does it. Nobody gets to have God. Nobody gets to go to heaven except through the cross of Jesus Christ. And these five want you to believe in Jesus Christ if you don't already. So I'm going to let them talk. I'm going to let them tell you why they want to be baptized, why they want to go underwater and be identified with Jesus Christ, turn their backs on their old life, and walk with him forever and ever and be his.